Okay. Well, our class for the new year is How to Remain Godly in an Ungodly World. And we certainly live in an ungodly world. Amen. You can look at the news any day, and you can see that the world is full of evil, full of sin, full of tragedy and heartache and just awful things. I have a picture of Times Square up there, and of course, 5 days ago, people gathered there with hope for the new year. But at the same time, there's lots of sin going on, right? People get drunk, all kinds of things like that. Worldliness happens even when people are celebrating and trying to be optimistic about the future, right? And Times Square can be a symbol of good things, but it can also be a symbol of bad things. We live in an ungodly world, and we want to use the scriptures to equip us to remain godly in an ungodly world and to be the people Jesus wants us to be. Amen? But more specifically, the subtitle of our class is How to Survive Election Year in America. Okay? This year is going to be very divisive. The election has actually already been going on for a while, right? No vote has been cast, but people are out there campaigning vigorously. But it's intensely partisan. Politicians appeal to emotion now more than ever to stir people up to support them and their side and be against the other side, right? The news media now more than ever takes sides and is intensely partisan, right? Most people pick their news provider based on, you know, they know that news provider leans in their political direction, right? And politics seems to affect everything. So many things are political now that in my experience growing up weren't necessarily political, but now are. The entertainment world, you know, weighs in on political questions. The sports world is involved in political controversies. And now we have social media. We didn't have that when I was growing up, but now we have social media, and anybody, anywhere can get on there and express their political opinions, which is fine, but of course, many of them, I don't know if it's most of them, because I'm not on social media that much, but most of them express their opinions in a very negative way, right? A harsh, partisan way that criticizes anyone who disagrees with them. And if someone gets on there and expresses opinion, there are often trolls jump on and, you know, start attacking them from the other direction, no matter which direction they started from, right? So that's the world we live in. It's hard to have a respectful conversation with someone who has a different political opinion than yourself. It's hard to do that. I remember growing up, I liked to do that. In college, even in high school, I liked being able to have a conversation with someone who had a different political opinion than me. I had a good friend in college, and I was at one end of the political spectrum. He was at the other end of the political spectrum. We both led political groups, but we were good friends. And we would actually sponsor debates. He would get a prominent speaker to advance his viewpoint. I'd get a prominent speaker to advance my viewpoint. We'd put him on the stage and hold a real interesting debate. But it's hard to do that now, right? It's hard to do that. So turn to John chapter 3. So how do we as disciples of Jesus inoculate ourselves from this toxic environment? How do we do that? How do we remain godly in an ungodly world? And we want to look at biblical answers to this question over the next few months. And in addition to pure Bible teaching, like I'm going to do today, every 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have a panel discussion. And prominent brothers here are going to be up here on a panel, sort of like a political talk show, but they won't be talking politics. They'll be commenting on the scriptures that we're looking at and how they apply to our lives and how they help us remain godly in an ungodly world. So we'll try to do that, do something a little different, maybe have some fun with it. But we're going to start for the next few weeks looking at Jesus' teaching, and then we'll move on to the Apostle Paul, and some other parts of the New Testament. So let's read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel, right? The gospel message in one verse. And this is our theme scripture for the class. Now, we have a theme scripture for the year, and I think Steve's going to talk about that today, and we'll be rolling out our theme scripture for the year. But this is our theme scripture for the class, for this class. How to remain godly in an ungodly world. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to remain anchored on the gospel, anchored on God's love, anchored on our faith in Jesus, on his sacrifice on a cross. Ha! There you go. And on the eternal life that he's promised us because of that. Amen. That's what we want to remain anchored on in our hearts, in our minds, and in our actions, interactions with other people. You know, it says God so loved the world. You know, a lot of people, especially when they get into a political mindset, they're like, well, how can there be a loving God with all this evil in the world? You know, all this injustice, all the evil things that happen. And that's real. That's a real question. But right here, God tells us he loves the world. And he loves the world so much that he sent Jesus to die for us so that we can be forgiven of our sins. So that's answer one to that question. You know, you could spend a lot more time answering a question of how does a loving God allow evil to happen? But that's the first answer, is God loves the world. He sent Jesus to die for us. And we put our faith in that. And we want that to be the anchor of our lives, God's love. You know, the Bible says to pray in Ephesians 3, pray that we would know God's love in a deeper way, the full breadth and height and depth of his love. You know, that's something we can pray for each other, to know God's love. And we'll have everlasting life. No matter how crazy life gets here, no matter what might happen in the world and how it might affect us and how we feel, we know we have everlasting life. We're going to a better place where God will put everything right. There'll be a judgment where he'll put everything right and he'll deal with all the evil and injustice in the world. He will do that. And then we will live with other faithful disciples of Jesus and with his people in New Jerusalem in peace and harmony and joy forever and ever. Amen. So we always have that to look forward to. So let's remain centered on the gospel, on God's love, on Jesus' sacrifice, on the eternal life we have. And let's repeat this scripture to ourselves. I think that's kind of easy to do. We probably, most of us have it memorized. And just remain centered on this when, you know, when something is, you know, from the world, from the news, from current events, it's just, threatening to, blow your groove, rattle your cage. When the world turmoil is raging all around, we have something better. We have something, you know, we have hope. We have something good for ourselves and to offer other people. Amen. Any comments there? Anybody have anything they'd like to say about that introduction? No? I said it all? Amen. Okay, well, there'll be more opportunities to comment. Look down at verse 31. It says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal on this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. Okay. So, we have a choice here. Jesus is laying out a choice. And he's saying, I came from God. I have the words of God. They're true. You can rely on them. But then there are earthly words. People who speak in an earthly way. And that's the choice we have. Who are we listening to? You know, who are we listening to? Are we listening to the Bible? Are we listening to Jesus? Are we listening to sermons that we hear here or lessons? Things that we might find on the internet where people are teaching about God's word? Is that what we're listening to? Or are we listening to the world? You know, to the people speaking in an earthly way. You know, to politicians, to people, you know, out there trying to stir things up, right? Is that what we're listening to? And we have to ask ourselves that question. Which are we paying more attention to? Do we spend more time listening to God's word, listening to godly people, being with godly people, praying? Do we spend more time doing that? Or do we spend more time, you know, on our phone? Oh, look what's going on. Look what he said. Look what she did. You know, do we spend more time doing that? So any comments about that scripture? Y'all are quiet today. Yes, ma'am.
And that's where I think we are.
Amen. 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 I appreciate that. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So I wanted that to segue into what we really want to focus on is the words of Jesus, right? The words of Jesus. What does he teach us about how we should feel, act, behave, treat other people in this toxic environment? What is that? I mean, I love politics, okay? I'm a political person all my life. I love reading about politics. I don't really like hear people talking about politics, but I like reading about it. I always watch election night sitting in front of my TV on my couch. I always do that. But I can't let politics suck me in and control my life, right? It's something out there, and it is important. How our government is led is important. You know, the kingdom of God is far more important, right? And the gospel is far more important. And my relationships with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's far more important. You know, there are a lot more important priorities, and so I can't let that, or you know, and especially frustrations I might feel about that, you know, rattle me to the point where I stop being spiritual, where those priorities start taking over. And like Peter said, might divide a church. You know, we certainly wouldn't want our church to be divided over what's essentially a political issue, right? Some issue of public affairs. Amen. So let's look at the Beatitudes. If we're going to talk about Jesus and what he taught, well, let's start with his most famous teaching, and let's go through these. I'm going to read them all, and then we're going to go back, and we'll go through each one. And so maybe pick one out that you want to comment on, and we'll get to each one. And let's talk specifically about how does this teaching of Jesus affect how we should feel about political controversies, about election year, about how we treat one another and talk to one another, or people in the world we might be interacting with. How is it different than how people in the world act, what Jesus is telling us here? Okay? Matthew 5, starting verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God." Amen. Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How is that different from what you might hear on the news or from politicians or political activists? Or how is that different? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Are politicians poor in spirit and their demeanor? No. But that's what Jesus calls us to be, right? Are people opinionated? Right? Are they pretty sure they're right? Right? But this says, no, be poor in spirit, right? Be willing to listen. You know, people are argumentative, right? This isn't argumentative. This is humble, right? You know, and in history, the political leaders with the greatest certitude were often the greatest tyrants, right? They were so convinced they were right that they, you know, ultimately decided they had to exterminate anyone who thought otherwise. You know, and you could go down the list, right and left. But they're, you know, that. But we want to remain poor in spirit, humble. You know, seeing our need for God, right? And you know the and what does he promise? It's not up there on the screen, but he says if we are poor in spirit, we'll receive the kingdom of God. Right? Not the kingdom of this world, right? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And that offers us so much more. You know, the kingdoms of this world, the government of the United States, I mean, it can offer us some stuff, right? We have certain benefits from our government, from living in this country, and those are good. And you know, politicians are, you know, promoting policies on how to deal with those things, and that those are important. But the kingdom of this world ultimately offers us fairly little, right? In a spiritual and an eternal perspective. But the kingdom of heaven offers us everything. And that's what we want to remain focused on. Amen? Okay, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay. When something sad happens, a tragedy, what is the sort of prevailing mood in our society? Mourning? Sort of the public mood? Retaliation? Anger? What else? Rage? Yeah, hysterical rage, yes? Blame? Pointing fingers? Right? Nonchalant? Some people are apathetic, yes? I'm sorry? Oh, get over it, move on. Yeah, lack of compassion about it. Guilt? Okay. You know, and my son David, you know, he's a campus minister in Dallas. And a couple months ago, there was, you know, a shooting, I think the one in El Paso. And but it was the shooter was from Dallas, and there were people in the church who knew the shooter, not well, but I mean knew the shooter. So there was a direct connection there. And he came to church that next day, and somebody came right up to him and started expressing a political opinion about the shooting, and it's just like no, people have died. We have to mourn with them, right? We have to mourn with them, and we'll get to the. You know, should policy change? Should there be, you know, actions taken to prevent this in the future? Well, we'll get to that. But the first instinct should always be, let's mourn with people. You know, let's express our concern for people who have suffered loss, suffered tragedy, right? That's what Jesus is talking about here. And then in a broader sense, we mourn because there's sin in the world, right? We mourn because there's evil. I mean, sin and death are connected, right? The wages of sin is death. That's why there's death in the world, because there's sin in the world. And so, you know, from a spiritual perspective, we don't want to be angry and screaming and yelling and pointing fingers and it's their fault and it's their fault. You know, the most recent shooting in Texas was actually in the, not far from Dallas, just west of Fort Worth, and it was in a church, right? An assembly just like this. And someone started shooting, and then the security team of the church killed the shooter. You know, and again, our first, you know, and but the first instinct in the world was to start discussing the potential political ramifications of, you know, should the security team in church have a gun and that kind of thing. But no, let's mourn. Two people died in church. I don't know if y'all noticed, it was a Church of Christ. I mean, it was a mainline Church of Christ, and they actually quoted an elder on the news, but that's and a deacon was killed. You know, so it was a church just like ours, very similar to ours. Okay, and so that's, you know, our first instinct needs to be mourning, needs to be compassion for people who have faced tragedy, right? And not jumping immediately to the political question. I mean, those are real, you know, and it's okay to get to those. But and Jesus promises comfort, right? He promises comfort for those who mourn. Ultimately, you know, God will give us comfort for mourning. Ultimately, we will have eternal life. You know, and that's the ultimate answer to death, is that Jesus offers us eternal life. Amen? Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay. Are people in the political world meek? What are they? Loud. I'm sorry, I don't hear well. Aggressive? Loud? Self-righteous? What?
Arrogant.
Oh, yeah. You know, so much of politics is the opposite of meek. You know, and you know, we can talk about those people out there. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be meek, you know, when you're standing in front of a microphone trying to get a crowd stirred up, or you got a bullhorn out on the street somewhere. It's hard to be meek, you know. You got to stir them up, right? That's the whole point. But that's not what we need to be. You know, we want to be respectful, you know, not insulting. You know, and consider social media. Are we meek? Are we sort of mimicking what we see on the news, you know, when we start expressing our opinions? Reasonable, gentle, you know, able to have a conversation with someone even if they disagree with you. You know, being respectful of them. You know, the Bible says, you know, even our enemies, our opponents, we should be able to be gentle and reasonable with them and, you know, talk to them. And what does Jesus promise here? He says, we will inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. And I think that's a reference to Revelation 21, where it says the new earth will come down and that's where we will live forever. You know, we are promised heaven if we are meek. You know, we are promised heaven if we are that kind of person. A person that's gentle, respectful, you know, kind to other people. You know, and that's a place Jesus is preparing for us. You know, I want to go there. You know, whenever I talk about heaven, I always sing a song or refer to a song. I don't really sing that well. Well, I got one here. I changed the words a little bit. It's the theme song from the Jeffersons. You ready? Moving on up to the best side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up to the best side, I finally got my peace. On high. Okay, well, whatever. I was going to sing the Brady Bunch to our Patriots fans, you know, but a story about a man named Brady. Oh, never mind. Okay. That wasn't very meek, was it? Oh, that wasn't in my notes. I shouldn't have gone there. Okay. Okay. Next one. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for being godly, for treating people like Jesus, for wanting to be like Jesus. You know, is that what in the political world people are hungering and thirsting for? What are they hungering and thirst for? What?
To be right.
To be right. I'm right. You're wrong. Yes, sir?
Power.
Sure. Yes, sir. I'm sorry?
Self-righteous.
Someone over here. Did you have it?
Money.
Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Control.
Yeah. You know, and as the sister said there, you know, politicians do talk about things that are real and are important, right? Jobs, that's important. Healthcare, that's important. Security in the sense of protection from, you know, terrorists or criminals or whatever. I mean, these are important issues. And, you know, I vote for the person that I think has the best policies to improve or these issues or solve the problems associated with these issues. I do that. But ultimately, those are not the things that we should be hungering and thirsting for, right? We need to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for God's kingdom, for eternal life, for the gospel, you know, for godly relationships with each other, right? Those are the things that matter most. And yeah, we need a job. And we certainly need health care. I just retired. I had to figure out my retirement health care. We need those things, and we certainly don't want, you know, terrorists running amok in the world if someone can stop them. So, you know, these are important things, but again, many of those things we trust to God while we focus on, as Jesus said here, righteousness. Or he says later in the sermon, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God will give you these other things as well. Right? So we don't have to be afraid, you know, or worried about this stuff. You know, and wondering, oh, which politician is going to give me the best whatever, you know? Well, it's okay to have those opinions and vote for those people, but ultimately, you know, that's not where our security lies, right? That's not where our greatest focus should be. Amen? Amen. Okay. We're running low on time, and we've only gotten through four Beatitudes. Okay, blessed are the merciful. Now, you think about, we've already talked about this some. You know, the world's reaction is to be vengeful, right? To want retaliation or justice in the sense of, you know, punishing the bad guys or bad gals. You know, that's how the world is, unforgiving, right? Often politics is about grievances, right? Appealing to grievances. They are out to get you. And I, the politician, am going to help, you know, protect you from them, right? That's a lot of times what happens. Sometimes politicians, and there are real problems out there, right? There are real terrorists, and there are real criminals, and there is real injustice, and, you know, government is supposed to address these issues. But from our standpoint, Jesus calls us to be merciful. Right? He calls us to be merciful, not to be focused on vengeance and justice not to be focused on vengeance and punishment and, you know, those kinds of things. We leave that up to God, right? He's going to judge the world, and he judges people in the world now, and he uses circumstances to bring about justice, and we can pray for that and certainly want politicians and governments to promote those things. But again, Jesus calls us here to be merciful. And that's the first instinct we want to have, not to be, as we've already talked about, angry and, you know, full of rage and those kind of reactions to things. Amen? Okay. Pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So having sincere motives, you know, having pure motives, looking for the good in other people, wanting the best for other people. Jesus, you know, we're going to talk about next week, calls us to pray for our enemies. You know, pray for those guys on the other side or who we think are promoting bad things. You know, again, politics is not designed for the pure in heart, or for those who are completely honest about what they think and what they feel. Politicians often, you know, hide that. And sometimes they won't answer direct questions. You know, we've seen that recently. You know, you ask a politician a direct question, they don't answer it. You know, we're in a debate. You know, a question is asked and they give their canned answer. They don't really answer the question because they're trying to appeal to the largest possible audience, right? But we want to be pure in heart. You know, politicians will appeal to, you know, selfishness, right? Envy, fear, prejudice. They'll appear to appeal to baser instincts sometimes. Again, like the sister said, not all the time, but many politicians do that. That's sort of the nature of politics. But Jesus promises if we are pure in heart, we will see God. We will see God. Again, I reference to heaven. It says we will see his face. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, we will see his face. And I certainly want that to happen. Amen? Amen. You know, I went to school in Washington, and when I was growing up, I said I was very interested in politics, and I thought I might want to have a career in politics or in government service or something. And I went to school there at Georgetown, and I saw a lot of politicians close up, and it was becoming disillusioned is not exactly the right word, but I became more realistic. And it was like some of these people who I really looked up to from a distance up close weren't that impressive. you know, they weren't that impressive. As it seemed to me that other people do stuff for a living. Politicians don't really. I don't know what exactly they do, but not much gets accomplished. Not to digress, but you know, we want to be pure in heart. You know, we want to be people that are sincere and real, and that other people can trust. Amen. And last, we have peacemakers. Wow. That's certainly not the tenor of our public life, right? To be peacemakers, to be trying to bridge differences, finding middle ground, finding common ground, finding a way where we could, you know, agree on a solution to a problem, right? Maybe that happened more in the past. There were politicians who reached across the aisle and tried to work together, and there are still some that try to do that, but it's not most, right? Most now are just, they're trying to impose their solution on the other side or demonize the other side for opposing their solution. But Jesus says if we are peacemakers, we will be called sons of God. You know, that's what we want to be. We want to be peacemakers with each other, right? Resolving any conflicts we have. We want to be peacemakers towards people that we meet out, you know, and we want to be peacemakers on social media. You don't want to be, you know, stirring up conflict, engaging in lots of arguments. But you want to be a peacemaker, someone who can reach out and maybe have a reasonable conversation with someone. Amen? And that's hard to do. It's hard to do in our society. Sometimes even when you try that, you get trolling in reply, right? But that's how we got to be, turn the other cheek, you know, just be able to be like Jesus in any environment. Amen? Well, let's close out. I'm running out of time. With Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen? You know, we're a city set on a hill. Is Mary Hall in here? No, she's not. Well, she's been there. That's Machu Picchu. It's a city on a hill, right? But that's what we are. We're a city on a hill, a city that people can see. We're the light of the world. And if we put into practice the things we've been talking about from the Beatitudes, you know, if we are those kind of people, we will be a light shining to the people around us, right? It will be a community doing that, right? And that's what we've, you know, focusing on, the whole church here, being that way with each other. The people in the world will notice that. Our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, they will notice that. And they'll be drawn to it. And that's the goal of what Jesus is talking about here. That we would be that city, we would be that light that could draw men to him. Amen? And I think in this election year, we have an opportunity to shine. Because a lot of the people around us are going to be going crazy. Now, some people don't pay any attention to politics, but I mean, a lot of people, more and more people, will be swept up into it because there is an important decision to make in November. So people are going to be wrapped up and affected by it more and more, and we have an opportunity to let our light shine, to remain focused on the gospel, the love of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, our faith in him, eternal life. That's what we can do. Amen? Amen. Amen.